it. Send it in.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of the Puck It, Send It In podcast covering the Florida Panthers. We're coming off our very first episode of the show last Friday. We have a brand new one in store for you all tonight featuring the great Colby Guy of Florida Hockey Now. He's been covering the Florida Panthers for a while, and it's just good to have another face of Florida Panthers media to join us for an episode. How are you doing, Colby?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
You know, it's been great, man. You guys are Owls, so not that you guys might care, but I'm coming off an episode of the Paws Up podcast an hour ago. So got the podcast mentality flowing already, you know. Alex, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're in the middle of a very fun Panthers homestand. We've got opening day for the Marlins tomorrow, kicking off what should be an exciting season. It's a pretty good time to be a media member in South Florida. I'm just ready to start these NHL playoffs. The Panthers are one game away from clinching a playoff spot any day now, depending on how other games around the league break. I think last night was the first night this season that they've come into a game with the chance to clinch a spot. It's nice to be in this position with 11 or 12 games left to go.
Yeah, I can confirm that was the first game that they came in with a clinching scenario. If I'm correct, I think that the situation might be a bit more simple going into tomorrow, where they'd only need to win and, I mean, it'd probably be the same thing because the Red Wings won, but I mean, basically the only thing the Panthers need to focus on is win, and you have about a 95% chance of clinching that day. So
Easier said than done, though, when Florida's taking on some of the best teams in hockey in this upcoming stretch. But with that said, you guys are correct. Florida is any game away now from clinching a playoff spot. Obviously a much better position than they were at last year when they were fighting for their lives just to get into the into the playoffs, which they did. So, but now it's nice to have a little bit of relief going into this. Before we get any further, Colby, if you could please share to the audience your socials and where people can find your work for Florida Hockey Now. I know you also do work, I believe, for AP and a couple of other locations as well, covering the Panthers. So if you could tell everybody where to find your work and where to follow you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Colby D Guy, and you can find most of my work at floridahockeynow.com. And yeah, I write the post game stories for the Associated Press, and stuff pops up wherever else, but you can find all that on Twitter at Colby D Guy.
Not a goalie, though.
Not a goalie.
All right, let's get one of the cats out of the bag right now, Colby. To your left is a New York Mets jersey. I can't remember what to your right was, but yes, he is born and raised over in New York. I want to say Long Island, right, Colby?
Yep, I was a Long Island boy.
Very convenient then that Florida's next opponent is none other than the New York Islanders. Funny how that kind of works out, but. Getting back on track here. So, unfortunately, I'd love to have an episode of the Puck It, Send It In podcast where we're coming off an awesome Panthers win. And we almost got that last night when the Florida Panthers were up by a pair of goals over the Boston Bruins in the third period, which is something that Florida has sort of done a great job at this season, holding on to leads late. And when I mean late, I mean the third period. They usually do a great job at holding on to those, but that was not the case against, granted, one of the best teams in the NHL, and the Boston Bruins, who came back and miraculously won that game. I wanted to get both your guys' takes on how you feel that third period transpired for Florida. I mean, it was a collapse. Let's put it bluntly. It was a collapse, and something Florida really doesn't do that often. Is it indicative of an ongoing problem with the team, or is it just like, okay, one of those nights, taking on one of the best teams in hockey, it's going to happen, just kind of at a bad time?
Yeah, I mean, looking at what transpired on Tuesday, I mean, it really just stemmed from one bad penalty where you shoot the puck over the glass, you give them a chance on the power play there, and they take advantage of it with Trent Frederick sending a one-timer past Sergei Bobrovsky, and that was all they needed to kind of swing the momentum there. But it was nothing systemic. I mean, that was just a good hockey game between two good teams. Florida kept getting the lead. Boston fought back. It was nothing really much of a systemic issue. Boston just kept capitalizing on the chances they got, and Florida controlled play a lot. But really, that's just a game that the Panthers are going to remember going forward, where in certain situations they need to be tighter. They need to think about making the right decisions in certain areas where you try to make the clear and you don't get it. It goes out off over the glass, and all of a sudden you find yourself on a penalty kill. And 3-2 turns into 4-3 pretty quickly after that. So even looking at the Ranger game, when they had a lead over the Rangers that day, it was somewhat of the same, where there's a bounce that goes the other way and they kind of run with it. So it's just about making sure you're making the right decisions and holding on to momentum there. But looking at a team that is still without Aaron Ekblad, too, and you have a couple guys like Barkov and Forsling coming off their specific ailments, I mean, it wasn't a bad effort, and now they're gonna try to put the pieces together against an Islanders team that has lost six of its last seven games. So it's a good opportunity to get a bounce-back game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell me if you guys disagree, but this is a team that you kind of touched on this, Kobe. They've kind of been shuffling guys in and out of that defensive lineup, with Forsling out for a game, Ekblad out for a couple weeks, now Kulikov getting suspended for a couple games. For the last 2 weeks, they've just kind of been shuffling guys in and out of the defensive pairings, and that's not something that they've been doing all year. They haven't had to. How much of last night and against the Rangers do you think was just guys not being used to playing with each other? Because I know, for example, last night, one of the goals that was scored was Charlie McAvoy was somehow left just wide open in the right faceoff circle.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking at some of these pairings, the Balinskas-Mikola pairing was a bit erratic at times because both guys are very aggressive. And it led to situations like a guy being wide open. But, I mean, now that the Panthers sent Balinskas back down to AHL Charlotte, and eventually they're gonna get the pairings back at the same where they used to be. But, I mean, individually, I think all six guys held their own pretty strongly. And it's just looking at a game like that Boston game where you're going to nitpick a couple things where – things are kind of erratic in that sense. But overall, I think they handled themselves pretty well. But you do make a point there.
Yeah, and not to mention the sort of the common struggles that that Florida has experienced for a while now that sort of rear their ugly heads once again against Boston was, of course, the inability to succeed on the power play. They had three opportunities and came out with nothing. Meanwhile, Boston had four chances with man advantage, and obviously we have to talk a bit about the unfortunate delay of game penalty on Evan Rodriguez late in the game with, I believe, 14 minutes in, that, you know, he was trying to clear the puck and it went over the glass, and during that power play, of course, Boston tied it up, and then they got their game-winning goal. I want to say not even a couple minutes later. So definitely an unfortunate turn of events there. And you always hate to see that type of penalty late in the game from a team who's just trying to get some momentum to have the puck go over the glass, and it's called a delay of game.
Yeah. Effort was great, like you guys said, but that delay of game that really burns you, because it's not systemic. It's not an effort thing, but it's also not the kind of penalties that are committed. Paul Maurice teams commit a lot of penalties, but that's mostly because they play a physical game. Mm-hmm. That was not like a spur of the moment kind of physical play. That was just, but from my viewpoint, it was just kind of sloppy play. Not the kind of play that Evan Rodriguez makes a whole lot, but still something unfortunate at a very unfortunate time in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I went over this a little bit earlier. I mean, it's just got to make better decisions in that kind of moment. And I mean, that's something you just got to nitpick and go from there and try to clean up. Something a lot of the guys in the locker room kind of echoed post game, that you just in those kind of close games, anything can kind of swing the momentum there. So it's all about trying to keep a lid on it.
Yeah. But aside from that, a very even contest by both teams. They both finished with 21 shots each. Boston was actually, I guess you could say, the more physical team, 51 hits compared to Florida's 40. Aside from that, they both experienced penalties that they sort of had to work around. Again, very similar numbers, very similar amounts of takeaways and giveaways. Again, you could definitely argue these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference just battling it out. And unfortunately for the Panthers, it was Boston who came out on top, and it was on the road as well. So that really helped them with the points as they stand in first place now. But again, Alex and I had spoke about this. You don't really want the President's Trophy. It's a curse, quote-unquote curse. But, I mean, still, at least the chances of Florida getting first place now in the Eastern Conference are definitely getting more slim. I say that, and Tampa Bay is currently beating Boston by a score of 3-1. So that's kind of funny how that all sort of works around. But,
I mean, even with the loss yesterday, Florida has just as good of a chance as they did to win the Eastern Conference before last night, where you have an extra game in hand on Boston. They still play them once more in Boston, and I think they have the easier schedule between the two.
Right.
So that loss didn't hurt them too much in that respect. It just gave Boston a leg up for now. But now that Boston lost, you have two games in hand on them. You're 2 points back. So a win tomorrow would put them right back in the same situation they were entering last night. So really, I mean, it's not too much of anything to dwell on other than, okay, we played in this tight playoff style of game. We had a tight lid on it for most of it, but they kind of let them slip into it a little bit. So here are things that we can kind of look at on the tape to fine tune and tweak in when playoff time comes. But really, looking at the schedules between the two teams, last time I checked, it seemed like Boston had like one of the hardest schedules in the league remaining, while the Panthers were somewhere near the middle of the pack. So looking at the strength of schedule wise, I think the ball's in Florida's court here as far as winning the Atlantic Division goes. And of course, the President's Trophy race is the President's Trophy race. And really, I don't think it's as much of a curse as everyone says it is. Because looking at the teams that have won the President's Trophy versus two of the teams that have won the Stanley Cup while winning the President's Trophy, it's really a matter of some of those teams that won the President's Trophy recently were teams that were pretty inexperienced and went through pretty far runs of playing rush style of hockey that didn't necessarily work in the playoffs. And that includes the Panthers. But the Panthers have really fine-tuned their game lately. And the past couple of years, they look like a team that can perform in the playoffs regardless of where they finish in the regular season. And it's more of a 2015 Blackhawks thing where they're playing that style of hockey throughout the season. So I don't think it's as much of a problem as people think it is.
Yeah, it seems like after every game this year, not every game this year, after many games this year, at least one player, and usually Paul Maurice, will say, oh, this was a playoff-style game. This is a playoff-style game that we played tonight. So it's a good sign that they're winning in the ways that will probably translate, well, that should translate to the playoffs, as opposed to a couple years ago when they won the President's Trophy, kind of like what you said, Kobe. Not as experienced rush-style hockey. And a lot of us kind of knew the elephant in the room of like, I don't know if this is going to translate to the playoffs. This year, they are playing playoff hockey, and they're even acknowledging it, that it'll probably translate to the playoffs.
So, I mean, even looking at some of these past teams that have won the President's Trophy and then won the Stanley Cup a few years later, Tampa Bay was in that situation when they lost in the first round to Columbus in that embarrassing fashion. Yeah. And John Cooper sat down with his team and said, hey, we need to do things my way now. And a couple years later, they're sitting there with a couple Stanley Cups in their cupboard. Same deal happened with Colorado too, where they won the President's Trophy. They had a really good team. They played a fast game. And eventually they kind of fine-tuned their game and tweaked it to the point where they won a Stanley Cup. And the year they won the Stanley Cup, they were kind of in that race with the Panthers for the Stanley Cup, for the President's Trophy that year too. So really, I don't think there's a curse. It's just a matter of what style of hockey you play and how good you can play it during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So if they win the President's Trophy, I don't think it matters.
And since we're on the subject now, I wanted to ask you a couple questions on two opposite ends of the coin. I wanted to start with the negative one first, because I want to end this sequence of questions with a high note. So if the Panthers do get bounced from the playoffs earlier than they expected, it will be because blank.
A lot of the times it's because you'd run into a hot team too. I mean, there are a lot of different factors that can go in depending on who you play against. Like if you look at round two against the Lightning, a lot of it had to do with the fact that they ran into a hot goalie like Andre Vasilevsky too, who was sucking in all the rebounds and playing insane. Like if you look at that series, Andre Vasilevsky was number one, two, and three as to why the series went the way it did. But I mean, it also could be because of lack of secondary scoring. If guys don't step up like they should, if you don't get scoring from the third line like they did throughout the beginning half of the regular season. Granted, a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko helps out a lot, and especially with the lines the way they are right now, where you have Sam Reinhart back on that third line. I will have an article about this on FloridaHockeyNow.com tomorrow, by the way. I actually wrote that story.
Nice plug.
Yeah. So if for whatever reason they can't get scoring out of the second or third lines at points, it's going to be tough. But when you look at the run from last year, and the way those second and third lines have been playing, the way they are constructed right now, I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem. It just depends on who you run into the playoffs. And I mean, if you run into a Toronto team where Austin Matthews is on an absolute heater and nobody can stop him, regardless of whoever's effort, then oh well, you played against a good team. But if it's a similar situation like last year when they played Toronto, for example, when Barkov and Lundell and Bennett did a good job of shutting them down in every kind of situation, and Toronto didn't get any production from its stars in those series, then you're good. So, I mean, I think I kind of answered both questions on that front because – I mean, if you get a generational performance like Barkov, like he did in that second round series where he completely shut down Austin Matthews and you're locking down their star players, then you're getting a good run. But there's a lot of factors that go into what can happen, what can't happen. And obviously, when you have a series set in stone, we can start talking about those specifics of which players can step up on which side and where the matchups kind of go wrong, because I mean there are a lot of things I can say about if the Panthers go up against the Lightning, for example, versus if the Panthers go up against the Bruins or the Maple Leafs or whoever else.
Hurricanes also scare me as well. They're also on a hot streak right now.
Yeah, the Hurricanes have been on a heater, and I mean especially since they made the trade deadline moves that they did. I mean, I looking up and down their lineup, I don't think there's a team as deep as the Hurricanes are. Is even their fourth line is a pretty good scoring line, and they have one of the deepest defense cores. The one thing about the Hurricanes is that I'm still not 100% sold on their goaltending, and they don't really have that marquee franchise player. No offense to Sebastian Aho, who I think is still very good. And they still have a lot of other very good players, but they don't have that franchise take a game over style of player. And that's probably the one thing that they're lacking. Yeah. But they're a team that's very deep, and it makes up for that because you don't run out of secondary scoring on that team. because there, no matter what, there's always a guy that can come and then step up on that team. So, I mean, that's one of the more dangerous teams in the playoffs, just depending on who steps up and what goes on with the goalies.
How happy should the Panthers be that Nashville's in the West Conference right now? Like what's that going to look like when they get in there?
Ooh, that Western Conference is going to be interesting going into the playoffs, especially if Nashville keeps playing the way that they have, because they've been on an absolute heater. And I mean, it's a good combination between Andrew Brunette's style of play, where he has his teams go fast. They play good off the rush, but you also have Barry Trotz in there as general manager, and he gets guys that can play a good structure. They have guys who can forecheck hard as well. So I think they've done a really good job of balancing the structure and the way Brunette's teams like to play. So they're going to be a tough team for anyone to play in the first round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that Western Conference bracket's going to be pretty interesting between how Nashville's playing, the Winnipegs of the world that are pretty deep. You got your top-tier teams like the Avalanche, the Stars, the Golden Knights are still hanging in there too, and yeah, they're getting a couple of big pieces back off IR once the playoffs start. So the Vancouver Canucks interest me, but they probably fall into that category of inexperienced team that could flame out early, and if they have to play in Nashville in the first round, if Vegas does catch up to Nashville once they cool off a bit and they have to play Nashville in the first round, that probably ends up being one of the more interesting playoff series in the first round. So that it's going to be a fun ride to the Stanley Cup final, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. There's still a lot of time left before we even get to the play. I say a lot of time, not really. There's still, we're getting relatively close, but a lot can happen within the span that we are now currently in. The 5-time Marlins Jeopardy champ, Daniel, says Alex looks really marvelous tonight. So, you know, all right, there you go. There you go, Alex.
Thank you, Daniel. He's never watched a minute of Panthers hockey in his life.
Oh, we'll have him okay. Next time. Alex Bumgarner says, nice Mets jersey.
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
And then Kevin says, loving the podcast thus far. Keep it up. Thank you, Kevin. I haven't seen you since like an hour ago when we recorded the podcast. So, all right. I think it is time to do our very first segment of the CAT scan, a brand new segment in which we will be analyzing a specific player on the Florida Panthers, not just in their most recent game, but also the past week, past stretch of games per se. And I think we should start off this first episode of the CAT scan with none other than Florida's goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky. He has had some up and down games as of late. He's looked really good in a few. However, with all of that said, Florida's best goalkeeper performance as of late, I'd say, was in their win against the Philadelphia Flyers, in which Stolarz was in the net. So what are your guys' thoughts on the way that Sergei Bobrovsky has played as of recently compared to a few weeks ago, or I'd say even a month ago at this point, where Florida was on that tear with just winning back-to-back-to-back games, especially on the road, where I feel like nothing could get by Bob?
I mean, the thing is, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the defense in front of him has been pretty erratic with Forsling and Ekblad being out of the lineup and Kulikov being suspended as well. So a lot of the time you have a situation where a guy's left wide open, and what can you do about that? And it's also these games against these good teams that have these elite players that are able to put the puck in spots nobody else can. But I think Sergei Bobrovsky's still been really good, and he's come up with some very big saves in high danger situations. So I don't think there's anything to be worried about. Anthony Stolarz did have himself an incredible game in Philadelphia, and that was something that he had a lot riding on too. That's the team that drafted him.
Yeah, and took on the first star as well, I believe. 32 saves. I mean, granted, really seems like every now and then a player will just go off against his former team. It feels like that happens a lot, not just in hockey, but in sports in general. And Stolarz did that.
Yeah, he had 13 high danger saves in that game. And a lot of those came in the third period when things started to deteriorate in front of him a little bit, and they had that 6-on-5 there where they got one on him. But he was incredible in that game, and in those high danger situations in the third period, he was incredible. So kudos to Anthony Stolarz there. He's been everything the Panthers could want and more in a backup, and that's kind of helped manage the load on Sergei Bobrovsky's side. But I don't think there's much to be worried about with Sergei Bobrovsky, and I think once things calm down and you get a big minute-eating defenseman like Aaron Ekblad there, who has played very solid defense, and he's a guy that not a lot of people appreciate as much as they should. But once Aaron Ekblad slides back in there and you start to have a little bit more normalcy on that defensive end, I think you're going to go back to a similar style of game where Bobrovsky makes the saves you need him to. He doesn't have as much going on in front of him, and you get those same results.
Yeah, even when he does have to be, you know, the difference maker in games, he's been a lot better this year than he has in the last – in his first couple seasons in Florida. I remember the biggest thing with him, at least from my viewpoint, was that he could make the easy saves, and then he couldn't always make the high danger saves, the ones that you pay him the big money for. This year, like, there are lots of times where he will have to stand on his head and he'll answer the bell and be able to do what he needs to do. It's funny, Paul Maurice said earlier in the year, he hasn't had to be the difference maker a whole lot this year. Now he's getting tested a lot. Kind of like what you said, Jake. And yeah, I think it'll just get a lot better once the defense comes back in the form that it's supposed to be in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Something else we wanted to go over, the injury. By the way, we have a couple of finals just in. Tampa Bay just beat Boston 3-1, and not that long ago, Ottawa defeated Buffalo 6-2 on the road as well. So, okay. I mean, none of those really affect Florida as of right now. But let's talk about Aaron Ekblad, whose status is listed as day to day. There was some news out of Charlotte that Alex, help me with this pronunciation if I get it wrong. Uvis Balinskas.
Uvis Balinskas.
So he's back to Charlotte. Does that signify that Ekblad could be coming back real soon?
Yeah, I mean, Paul Maurice said that he could come back sometime this week. Granted, he said that he needs to get a couple more practices, and with not a lot of practice time happening, I think he had to see how he is feeling after morning skate on Thursday, and that he could push over to Saturday for that game against Detroit. But it could just be a paper move, and you go in and you still have two guys to choose from as far as whether you're going with Bjornfoot or you can give Mahura the chance to go again. So, I mean, with the two extra defensemen there, I don't necessarily think that means Ekblad's 100% back, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. Alrighty then, fellas. Again, let's get one thing clear to everyone watching, because I know Edwin panicked about this last week when he watched the first episode of the podcast. Florida's not in any danger right now. They're like a win, maybe two wins away from securing a spot in the playoffs. So everyone can take a breather. Things are going to get better for the Panthers, I believe. As we talked about at the beginning of the pod, they're beginning a two-game homestand. They're taking on the Islanders tomorrow at 7, and then they're taking on Detroit in a noon contest, 12:30, which I like to see on Saturday. So let's start to wrap up here with a look around the NHL and maybe make some fun predictions for the upcoming slate of games that we have set up. Let's see here. Here we go. I made a cool graphic. So around the NHL, looking at the games ahead of us on March 28th, let's take a look and maybe and make some predictions. And let's just get right into it with the Washington. Okay, let's pick like maybe five games out of this list aside from the Panthers game, which we'll obviously save for the end, that we'd like to talk about the most. Let's start off with that Detroit and Carolina game. Detroit, a very solid team at the moment. However, they have kind of struggled as of late. And like we mentioned, the red hot Carolina Hurricanes. I'd like to see if anyone's brave enough to say that on the road, the Red Wings will get a win off of the Hurricanes here. I am not going to say that. I'm going to take Carolina.
I'm not really a big predictions guy, but I mean, this is a do or die situation for Detroit, especially coming off the game against the Washington Capitals, where you get a point over on a team you're chasing there. So I think they might pull one out, just because of the situation they're in, and they're starting to get back on track after a really rough stretch there. So maybe they do pull that one out.
Alex, who you got?
Yeah, I got Carolina as well. I don't know, just a stronger team than Detroit.
Yeah, fair enough. No, that's fair enough. I pretty much agree. By the way, we have a couple of recently eliminated NHL teams, that being Columbus in the Eastern Conference and Arizona in the Western Conference. So, all right.
Yeah, that's a shame. For a little while, it looked like Arizona was going to get in, like way earlier in the year, though.
Yeah.
Would have been fun to see a playoff game at Mullet Arena.
At a college arena. That would have been interesting.
You know what? That Josh Doan story was pretty fun coming out of Arizona, though, where he makes his NHL debut, scores a couple goals in front of his dad. He's at the same arena that he played college hockey in. So, I mean, good for him for at least breaking into the NHL, getting his first couple of goals there.
Yeah. By the way, Colby, where is where is Arizona? What's going on? What's going to happen with the Coyotes, in your opinion? Are they leaving the state? Are they going to stay in this arena for a while? What's going on with them, you think?
I don't know, man.
I don't think Arizona knows what Arizona's going to do.
Yeah, I don't even think they know.
All right, let's pick another game from this list that really interests us. And without a doubt, we have to look at that Winnipeg-Vegas game. Two very, very solid teams from the Western Conference in similar situations. Winnipeg is third place in the Central, and Vegas is fourth place in the Pacific. Winnipeg has the advantage here of being home. However, funny enough, they've also had attendance struggles as of late, but I don't know. Vegas is, again, they're coming off that championship. They don't have a whole lot to lose here. I'm going to take Vegas on the road here.
I mean, I think Winnipeg's in just as dire of a situation whereas Vegas is, just because Nashville's chasing after them and they got to hold on to that three spot in the Atlanta, in the Central Division there. So, I mean, they have as much to play for as Vegas does, and I think Winnipeg comes out on top here.
Mm. What say you, Alex?
Yeah, I think so as well. I just, if nothing more than just, I find it hard to bet against Connor Hellebuyck.
Fair point. Let's pick one last game. I think this is without a doubt going to be the game of the day. It's going to be Dallas and Vancouver. This could be a potential Western Conference final preview. It could be two very, very high quality teams here. They have pretty much the exact same record. They're both 45-19. It kind of feels like this is a pick 'em, like a coin flip, and you can decide who you want to win in this game. I don't know, man. In a game like this, I feel like the home team might have the slightest advantage here, so I gotta give it to the Canucks.
Yeah, it's a coin flip. Let's see, heads, tails, Dallas.
All right, you know what? I appreciate those odds. What are you gonna go with, Alex?
Yeah, I'll take Dallas as well.
Alrighty then. So let's get to our game, the Florida Panthers. Are taking on the New York Islanders. Again, it felt like if Florida got that win over Boston, my goodness, they'd be heading into this game with so much more motivation than they're on now. However, maybe this is now making them a bit more hungry to get that win against a very, I don't want to say disappointing. Yeah, I'm going to say kind of a disappointing Islanders team. this is the perfect this is one of those kind of teams where it's great to rebound after a loss against, because you know that you're going to have the talent to beat them. No disrespect to the Islanders, but again, it hasn't really been their year. And I don't know. I think Florida's going to take this one, and I think they're actually going to take it kind of handedly.
I mean, the Islanders have been a really weird team this year because, I mean, especially just looking at the past month and a half, they had a 5-game winning streak to kind of get themselves back into the playoff conversation, and then immediately lose 6 games in a row. Then they come out and have a really good showing against Winnipeg. They score. They chase Connor Hellebuck. They play that style of game that they want to, where they're aggressive on the forecheck and they're playing hockey exactly the way Patrick Waugh wants them to. And then immediately the next day lay a stinker against the New Jersey Devils. So
yeah,
this has been a very inconsistent and just a weird team this year. So, I mean, if the Islanders come out and play the way they want to, they can make this a close, chippy game and give the Panthers a hard time here. But at this point, you don't know what Islanders team you're getting. And looking at their past 7 games, save for that Winnipeg game, they've kind of just looked lost at times. So
yeah,
it's Florida probably is able to take care of business here.
Yeah, the Islanders kind of remind me of those Panthers teams from like the early 2010s, where they would dig themselves into a hole and then kind of go on a little run in like February and March, and like kind of look like the team that you don't want to face, like kind of like this year's Nashville team.
That's an amazing comparison. Like, my goodness,
a little bit.
Yeah, that's actually a really good comparison.
Yeah, but I think that the Panthers take it. I think, even with losing 2 of their last 3, I think that they still looked pretty good against New York. It's not like a couple weeks ago where they were losing games and just completely looking lost, like not even playing their style of hockey. They're playing their style of hockey again. They looked good last night. They obviously looked good against Philly. They looked good against New York about a week ago. And I think they're going to look fine tomorrow. And either Ekblad is back or he's not, but at least the defensive pairings can play one more game with each other and get a little bit more reps with each other. So, yeah, I think Florida takes it. I don't know if they take it handedly, but I think they take it.
Fair enough. And alrighty then. So, Alex, I know you're going to be on site tomorrow at that Panthers game. Colby, obviously, you're going to be there. But, you know, thank you so much for spending some time with us, talking a bit of Panthers hockey on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So that was episode 2 of the Puckett Send It In podcast. We can't wait to hopefully report some good news next week that the Panthers have gotten on a heater. That's what we want to report next week. So till next time, have a great night, and let's go home, baby.
Send it in.